Every single manufacturer has developed their own set of protocols of how they expect a payment device to work on that machine or on that bend sequence. And that complicates development. The way that devices interact with those machines can be different from one manufacturer to the next, from the payment side, one manufacturer to the next from the laundry equipment side. And so that is one of the challenges.
Welcome to the Planet Laundry Podcast, brought to you by Planet Laundry, the magazine of the Coin Laundry Association. This episode of the Planet Laundry Podcast is brought to you by Card Concepts, your trusted partner in revolutionizing laundromat operations with innovative payment and business management solutions. Whether you're a laundromat owner or an entrepreneur looking to streamline operations, CCI's LaundryCard, FastCard, and Flex RF systems offer cutting-edge technology for seamless payment, remote management, and unmatched revenue growth. Visit laundrycard.com/innovation to learn more and take your laundry business to the next level with Card Concepts. This is the Planet Laundry Podcast. I'm your host and the editor of Planet Laundry Magazine, Bob Neiman. Today, I'm with Steve Marcinetti, the president of Card Concepts. And with 25 years in the vended laundry industry, Steve's pioneered a number of products that have helped transition laundry payment beyond the quarter. Steve's also a former board member of CLA, and his company supports more than 3,000 laundromats nationwide with payment and business management solutions. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here today.
Oh, terrific. I'm glad to be here. Look forward to having our conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And before we get into maybe some of the technical issues and what's happening in the industry today, I was wondering if you could briefly maybe share the origin story for Card Concepts and the family dynamic around CCI and the laundromat industry, because I think it's unique.
Yeah, sure. To keep it brief, essentially my family's been in the laundry business for near 50 years. From all the various aspects of distribution, store ownership, and service. My father basically got into the business shortly after coming back from Vietnam and learned how to service machines. And that ultimately rotated into learning how to sell equipment to get into distribution. And then, fast forward a whole bunch of years, but let's say go back 25, no longer than that. Started a distribution business that still is around today. My family still operates in the Chicagoland area. And back then, there were payment systems available for laundry equipment outside of coin. My background prior to coming to join the family business, which is only about 6 months after it started, but was in technology. And I was on the road pretty much 7 days a week. I was a young man at that point, so it wasn't a big deal, but it was starting to get tiresome. So when I came to work for them, for the business, we were using technology and to try to eliminate quarters. We saw the value in it back then. But my background in technology quickly, I think, revealed to us that the technology that was available at the time was not really optimal. There were a number of concerns that we had as a distributor, as a store owner, that we felt, could be overcome. And like a lot of new companies, that opportunity birthed the idea of Card Concepts. And so we couldn't really find what we thought needed to be available to store owners, so we created it. So in 2000, we spent about a year kind of looking at what was out there, what we wanted to do. And in late 2000, early 2001, we installed our first CCI at that point called LaundryCard system. So, it was just really came from a need, like most businesses and products out there, and we capitalized on it. And it turned out that there was a lot of other distributors in the country that were also looking for something a little more comprehensive, a little more reliable, and a little more cost effective. So that's where CCI started.
Yeah, certainly filling that void, as you say. Having grown up kind of in the laundry industry, I think we could say that that laundry owners are resistant to change and almost tech averse in some ways. But I think we've seen that change. We've been seeing that change for years now. Certainly that evolution, I think, was felt even at the last clean show in 2022, where there was just sizable kind of sea change there. What are some of the factors that you're seeing as far as that shift? What's lending to that shift in embracing technology these days?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's not just store owners, it's not just laundry owners that can be a little adverse to change. I think retail customers can be. The way they want to do business is probably something that has really driven store owners to be more open to change. You know, the way that we interact with payment, just in general as consumers, just take laundry out of the equation, has evolved significantly. You know, again, being in the business for 25 years ago, we were preaching the same things that we are preaching today. And it only seems like it's taken that long for people to really become very open to the idea of something other than a quarter or alternative or supplement the quarter in some way. I think that it's customer driven. You know, it's the retail customer is looking for very specific conveniences. And, you know, we can go back to, you know, could you imagine going to a gas station that didn't accept a card? You know, and there were times when you did pay cash for gas. I'm old enough to remember some of those. Today, I don't think a gas station could survive. I don't think we're quite there in the laundromat business, but it certainly, you know, may become the case at some point where you need to offer some type of alternative payment. I was just at a customer site recently who just installed a system, and they, you know, their customers told them that this was the last business that they interacted with that required cash, and they were really kind of brought to that. So that's the customer, you know, is basically telling us that. And certainly, there's been a lot more options available in this space. You know, there were fewer back 25 years ago than there are today, and so that has provided more competition, probably better competitive pricing, and really brought things into kind of the sphere where more people are open to the idea, and maybe it feels more. They're not the first. You know, like I said, we have 3,000 locations. People are not the first anymore. They're basically just deciding which direction they want to go.
Right, right. Well, given that, Steve, what are you most excited about tech-wise right now?
Yeah, I mean, our focus is primarily in the payment side of things, but also, you know, I actually tell people this all the time, the payment part of it actually is like the least exciting part for me. Really, for me, it's about what can we do with the technology that happens to provide payment that can actually build the store's business. You know, how do we help that laundry make more money? How do we make that operator open a second store? How do we help them get to those milestones that I think so many new store investors are interested in? And so, you know, for me, it's about leveraging the technology to find new business and new customers. You know, if you're talking about specific technology, I think, you know, things are happening so fast. You know, there's AI out there that will help you analyze data. And I don't even know if we really know the best way to leverage that yet. I know there will be a method to that madness at some point for us. And so we often will kind of sit and watch other industries and see how they best leverage it before we try to, you know, I wouldn't say force it, but kind of push it onto our own customers. But I see a lot more IoT type devices to help stores kind of monitor their business. Obviously, more mobile applications from the payment side and the monitoring side, interacting with customers through mobile devices, I think is here, and it'll only get better. But I just think that the days of coin only stores is not going to go away, but we are going to see it minimize. I mean, we're really going to see a lot less of it as the consumer demands these conveniences. You know, we try to keep it simple. I was always raised in this business. My father's, this is a convenience business. You know, people can do laundry in a lot of different places. If they live in an apartment, they can do it in the basement, in the laundry room. We have to give them conveniences that they can't get in their alternative methods. And so leveraging the technology that's out there and the stuff to come is how do we provide them a better convenience and a better service than what they have available otherwise.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I mean, Card Concepts, as you mentioned, has been around for 25 years now. I'm sure sometimes it feels like yesterday to you. And you've been advocating for technology essentially for 25 years. How has the mission and the company, I guess, maybe evolved over those last quarter century?
Yeah. Interesting. Not much. And I guess it's because I think we had a good direction from day one. You know, our mission has been, you know, one of the things that we felt was lacking 25 years ago, actually is something very simple, which is just customer service and the lack of customer service. I mean, most of the providers of the products at that time had help, you know, had a help desk, but it was only available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., whatever time zone they were in. But as you and I know, and anyone listening to this, laundromats are busy on Saturdays and Sundays and evenings. I mean, that we're a peak period business during those off times. And so, you know, we made it a mission of ours from the very beginning that we will always be available. And so that is something that has really been associated with our name is customer service and great support and availability. And we've only expanded on that by adding more people, expanding our office hours. But we have help 24/7, you know, but you can get somebody on the phone now on Saturday at 7 p.m. right on the phone, not having to wait. And then, you know, so I think that has been that's been a driving force for us. You know, we always have considered ourselves to be innovators, and we continue to do that. And I think that's something that you have to do if you're going to be in this space, is innovate and bring new ideas to life through your technology. And so that's something that we have done. We were kind of the first of many types of tech in the laundry industry, first to bring touchscreens to the kiosk, first to bring touchscreens to the card reader, first to, you know, so we do push the envelope in some of those areas. And I think that between making sure the customers are happy, that they're serviced, bringing new products, I don't think that mission's going to change.
Right. Perfect. Well, how do today's payment systems, two things, how do they help customer satisfaction? And number two, operational efficiency, because I think those are the two things you're trying to accomplish with, whether it's a payment system or a business management system. How do they take care of those two aspects of the business, the customer and the operations?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of touched on it a little bit, that we're a convenience business. So what I like to say is, let's not get in the way of the customer doing laundry. And sometimes we get really excited with all the technology and the fancy devices that we can introduce. But if we get in the middle of someone trying to do their wash and end up being a problem for them, or make it too complicated, it's an issue, and it's kind of counterproductive to what we're doing. So I think, you know, we have to make sure it remains a convenience, and it has to be easy. And so offering the customer the ways they want to pay is how you deliver that. So, you know, if someone just wants to walk up and tap their credit card, then let them tap their credit card. If they want to use their mobile device, then let them just walk up and use their mobile device. We don't necessarily have to force them to do things the way we want them to do things, you know, as operators or as manufacturer. So that's really important. And then, you know, from an efficiency perspective, everything we do that encourages a retail customer to do something other than coin becomes an efficiency. And I think we do that obviously through collections. There's less to collect from a coin perspective. The audibility is really important, because you can now set up management to collect for you and not have concerns about money disappearing and issues that might be associated when you have employees collecting for you. And then, you know, once you have this technology in the store, you can add additional things to add efficiency. You know, you can have time card systems that are all integrated. You can have employee management features like task management, scheduling, employee scheduling. They can be all kind of tied in, which are things that typically are done manually on a whiteboard or, you know, punch cards for time and things like that. We can kind of integrate all of that together into a kind of a unified solution. And that's kind of some of the innovation that we've brought, you know, to our products that I think will just continue to grow.
Yeah, no. And again, your background has been technology all the way throughout. And I know that that's what excites you about CCI and what you're doing within the industry. Can you kind of walk me through how a product is developed and then tested at your company? How you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's probably not unlike most tech companies that, you know, that are constantly innovating and bringing new things in. Obviously, you have to identify a need, And I guess what's unique maybe from that perspective is because we're in the industry, I feel like our visibility to the needs are a little bit more forefront. We still operate stores to get today, my family. And so, you know, sometimes ideas come from a need that we've seen in our own operations. And, you know, we might not always rely only on what we want to do before we develop. We may then float that concept out to our existing customer base and see what they think about, you know, the solution that we have in mind for that need. But once a need has been kind of defined, you know, we'll write up, you know, like a functional specification of what, how do we might address that need with our product, with some level of development. And then from there, we have a team of developers that review it and let us know where we've gone too far and break it down. And maybe in a from a cost effective nature, these development projects can be quite time consuming, resource intensive, which just comes down to cost. And so we have to make sure that that it fits a budget. What these services or products are going to do, and then we just manage the team that's going to build it. And then once they have something, the other benefit that we have is because we own stores, we test all this stuff in our stores, so we don't have to ask new customers to guinea pig for us. We kind of torture ourselves with new product first, and then once we feel like we've gotten through any of those early challenges that almost all software struggles with in the beginning, then we'll bring it out into a kind of a beta program, let select customers try, and then if they see success over the course of the time frame that we think is appropriate, then we roll it out. You know, we make it available oftentimes through just a download. You know, if it's software related, hardware is a little different. Hardware takes a bit longer if you're building new hardware, and that takes a bit more careful consideration, because once you put a piece of hardware out, it's hard to change the hardware. But it goes through a very similar process.
Yeah, that's fascinating. What is a typical time frame for maybe a piece of software?
Much longer than I'd like it to take, but I'm not a developer. If we had one of my developers here, they probably would be more realistic about it. It really varies. You know, some things might take 6 weeks. We have projects that take 6 months. We have projects that take 3 years, frankly. We've got to think really hard and long in advance, particularly when there's hardware involved, because there's so much tooling involved and there's just a mating hardware and software together. You know, it could take years to get a product to market, an idea to product to market, in fact. But, you know, software projects, you know, alone generally go anywhere between 6 weeks and 6 months, depending on how complicated they are. And again, I wish it was 3 days and 3 weeks, but typically it doesn't go that well.
Right. No, very good. That probably wasn't a fair question, but great answer. You know, as we talk about more and more laundry owners, you know, every day are embracing technology and integrating that into their operations. What are some of the challenges that they face as they try to integrate it within their operations? And also, how can they kind of smooth that process over? What could help them meet some of those challenges?
Yeah, I know it's probably going to sound a little different, but it's a matter of there's a lot of choices in products and understanding how those products are going to work with their laundry equipment. You know, again, we manufacture card readers. And so, you know, almost every laundromat has vending machines, for example. And the vending machine industry many years ago came up with these industry standards of how payment devices were going to work a vending machine. And so it's great for us because there's one standard and it works pretty much on any vending machine that we come up across that supports the standard. And it's, you know, it's pretty much widely accepted. That does not exist in laundry equipment. Every single manufacturer has developed their own set of protocols of how they expect a payment device to work on that machine or on that bend sequence. And, you know, that complicates development. The way that devices interact with those machines can be different from one manufacturer to the next, from the payment side, one manufacturer to the next from the laundry equipment side. And so that is one of the challenges, is really helping store owners and investors understand that much of this payment product, much of this technology that we're adding on to things is challenged by the manufacturer. And so sometimes the manufacturer will restrict certain things and we can't overcome that. I'll tell you that there's been quite a bit of a change. We've adapted to it, you know, of hybrid pay. So you can pay with coin still, but you can also pay with some other alternative. Mm-hmm. Almost none of the manufacturers of laundry equipment, and this is not their fault, it's just kind of predicting this, really ever had this idea that you would want to pay with two different types of payment, coin and something else. They usually say, well, here's how you go card reader. And if you don't want to go card reader, here's the coin option. And so this idea of hybriding, you know, or combo paying on a machine is something that can be quite challenging. And it's not obvious to investors and store owners that those challenges present themselves. So I think the way you overcome that is just talking to your prospective solution provider, making sure that you understand what the challenges are with the make and model machine that you're there. They're all very similar, but you know, there's always nuances that may be important to certain investors, and let them explain to you what the limitations are going to be depending on what kind of forms of payment or what kind of technology you want to drive in.
Sure. It's a lot of communication and education, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be a little challenging to understand why some of these things appear to be so simple, but ultimately can be quite complicated. In the end, when it's all together, it all works very seamlessly. But it's pretty interesting how complicated it take, how the complicated steps to get there are. But for many, I think my best advice just to investors and store owners that are considering is to really talk closely with their payment system manufacturer, even some of the distributors. And again, this is not necessarily directed as a fault of theirs, may not totally understand the nuances between certain types of payment devices and the manufacturing machines they support, mainly because they're so inundated with their own technology requirements of understanding. So I think it's really important that you talk directly to the potential vendor that you might be going with on the manufacturing side, and let them help you understand how they interact and how they integrate with the manufacturer machines that you're looking for.
Right. Perfect. Well, hey, with that said, and I think you probably alluded to this already, how important is it for laundry owners today to invest in technology? And what are some of the consequences if they wait too long or decide not to be too dire, but
yeah, I wouldn't probably frame it as being a dire thing. Mm-hmm. Today, I believe that there are still probably equal or more coin stores opened every year than there are card stores. Now, that number is shifting. And again, I've watched it over 25 years, but there are still a ton of coin-only stores going in that I believe are thriving just fine. To some degree, I think what store owners have to be thinking about is how do they want to run their business? And I know that we are a customer focused industry. We want to make sure, you know, there's a hyper sensitivity to what our retail customers want, and there should be a focus on that. But we're also people ourselves, and we're business owners. To some degree, we have to make business decisions on how we want to operate our stores. And so, you know, to some degree, how much time do you want to spend with some of the manual labor of running a laundry, pulling quarters and collecting and counting and doing some of the things that are typically associated with coin stores. And so, you know, as far as whether or not if you don't wait, are you going to miss out anything? I think you just miss out on time. You know, you're going to end up donating time to that store that you could be used in another way. And I'm not necessarily advocating for it not to be part of the store, but that time could be spent marketing the store, finding new business, looking for commercial accounts, building the business rather than working the business. You know, let the technology work the business for you while you work on building it, you know, and making it stronger. And I think that's an important way to think about it. Can you run a successful coin laundry? Absolutely. You know, I've been very forward about the idea that adding a payment system, adding one of our products, is not going to make a bad store great. And it's not going to make it's not going to make a good store bad. You know, it's basically helping you enhance the capabilities that you're already offering. It's a convenience, and it's going to allow you maybe to go to store two because you've now got time to manage a second location, or store three or store four. You'll probably find that as you get and talk to most of your multi-store operators, you know, it starts to become a real challenge to deal with some of the manual needs of a laundry, particularly if you have not scaled your your human resources enough to support that. And we've done a lot of work with multi-store owners who have been able to grow and still be sane without having to run around by adding some kind of technology to it.
Right. It's a tool essentially to help you, as you say, work on your business. Certainly to help you scale, if that's where your goals lie.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. As an investor investing in technology, what are some factors that they would consider to, evaluate the return on investment for that technology? What are the factors that they would look into?
Yeah, there's a number of things. To some degree, that's going to be a little different based on the type of technology that you've decided to, you know, roll in. And so the conversation starts earlier back into kind of like, what do you want to offer? Like, what kind of payment options, for example, do you want to offer in your location? And if the answer to that is, I want to eliminate coin altogether, you know, and that is a decision that a lot of store owners are getting to. And it's what we do in our own personal stores. You know, we still take cash, and most of these locations do still take cash, but eliminating the quarter itself, the ROI is actually very easy to calculate, because we can take a couple things into consideration. And these are not new terms, but, you know, we have a term we call it, that's called float. It's this idea that your customers are going to put money on an account or on a card in advance of the service. In traditional coin laundry, they pay as they go. You know, they get quarters out of the change machine, they put them in, they take the quarters home, they bring them back. You know, they pay as they go. When you go to a card only type of scenario, the customers are paying you in advance. And so there's always this difference between how much they've given you and how much they have spent. And we have found that that really grows to be a significant number that can be really counted as part of the ROI factor. And it does vary from location to location. And, you know, we quote where it could be, but some of the dollars associated will have to do with decisions that you make as an operator about how much that float's going to be. But more importantly, I think, than just the float, which is important, that's the loyalty that's associated with that float. So the idea that if you have invested $10 in a store on a card and you used only $8 of it, you've got a $2 kind of loyalty to return to that store next week. You know, it's time to do laundry again. And you can just kind of expand how that goes. The second part of the ROI is going to be this idea that, you know, when you're vending your machines, when you're pricing the machines in 25-cent increments, it's quite limited in that your utilities do not generally adjust in the same types of increments. And so, you know, the easy analogy is to look at dryers. And just for the sake of conversation, if you're 10 minutes for 25 cents in a store, you know, if your gas increases, which it does, the cost of gas goes up and down throughout the year based on demand and other factors. If it only goes up 5 or 6%, if you don't have a way to adjust your vend price by 5 or 6%, then you're going to find that you're losing that 5 or 6%. And so, you know, some store owners struggle with increasing prices. That's something that we've had challenges with for many years in our industry, is being, you know, very cautious about raising prices. And so it erodes at the profit of the store and ultimately can become detrimental to the store's upkeep. You know, they start to sacrifice other things that are equally important, you know, maintenance, employees, cleanliness start to suffer because the profitability isn't maintained. You know, when you eliminate the coin side, you can really adjust the vend price to be attached to your costs. And so if you have a 5% increase, you can raise the price a couple of cents on the dryer. And we have found in almost every instance, when you look at consumers and how they react to a small vend price increase versus if they take away services for the same price, they would almost unanimously would prefer to have the same service for a little bit more money. And so that kind of, it satisfies the customer just as much as it satisfies the store owner's ability to maintain a profit margin. And so that's the best ROI, is to eliminate coin. The second one, if you're going to hybrid and keep coin as part of the equation, you start to look at things that are, I'll call them, more soft advantages, because you're talking about adding conveniences to customers. So now you start to evaluate, well, I can get more business if I offer credit cards at the machine, for example, or that convenience that I'm adding is going to bring in. But to put a hard number associated with it is really about how much work you're willing to do to advertise the fact that this exists and the word of mouth that's associated with that. So the costs with going hybrid or adding credit cards or mobile pay, for example, at the machine, they're there, but they're softer. When you eliminate coin, we can come up with a really hard ROI, show you really what it costs, and what the ROI payback is going to be. Even from, and in all of these cases, the best way to ensure an ROI is to raise your vend price when you implement something new like this. And I think that in many cases, that's the way to best make sure that you get an ROI is you put in a new credit card reader system, raise your vend prices a little bit to accommodate. People are willing to pay for the convenience.
Right. Charge a premium, again, for that convenience. Absolutely. Can you share any, I don't know, maybe success stories or anecdotes of laundry owners who have embraced technology? Anything that stands out in your mind right now?
You know, I always go back to the same story, and it's actually very early on, but I think it's telling and it's been repeated many times over the years, is that very early on, you know, when we were trying to convince people that you didn't need to use quarters, you know, and at that time there were no hybrid payments. It was just, do you want to go all card, loyalty card, and, you know, and all the benefits associated with that. We came out, and my father and I came out and visited a store owner that had, I think, near 30 locations. This gentleman worked very hard, and he really had a very small team, but he did a lot of the work himself. And because of traffic, he would start his day at 3 a.m. so that he could, you know, run around to locations, and he basically just collected. If he could fix a machine in 5 minutes, he would. Otherwise, he would have to call somebody. Mm-hmm. But when I met him, he looked exhausted, and it was from years and years of just working really hard. And frankly, during the presentation that we gave him, I think he might have actually dozed off. He was so tired. We caught him a little later in the day when he's about finishing up with all of his collections. And frankly, I thought he was disinterested during the presentation. But, you know, a number of weeks later, we got a call that says he wants to give it a try. And so he retrofitted. And over the course of the next, you know, 5 or 6 years, he had a lot of stores, he started to retrofit and add payment systems. And I met him, you know, in person again many years later. And, you know, he, in not so many words, or and maybe more words, basically told me that, you know, we gave him his life back, you know, or the idea of this gave him a life back, that he could still operate these businesses that were good to him, but he didn't have to kill himself. You know, he didn't have to work himself ragged. And I think that's something that, you know, again, from a way of life, you know, how do you want to live your life when you're running a business like this? You know, make certain decisions that are going to, you know, give you the business that you were hoping to have. And he found us. And he found the solution that we provided as a way to get his life back.
Right. That work-life balance, or that business-life balance. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great story. That's a great story, Steve. This whole conversation, you've been talking about how technology and payment systems, it's exploding. It's everywhere. The space is super crowded at this point, as you know. What factors set Card Concepts apart in your mind?
Yeah, I think one of the big ones is how long we've been doing this. One of the things that we've noticed in more recent years, maybe say in the last 5 to 8 years, is how many new products have come to the market. Like you said, there's so many options. It's really top of mind. Even the manufacturer, the laundry equipment are involved in payment to some degree. So there's a lot of attention there. But one of the things we've also known, even over that same, you know, 8 or so year period, is that some of those companies have these really shiny new ideas, but they're gone in a year or two, you know, and they don't always go there. And I think that, you know, the fact that we've been around for 25 years is, it says a lot to who's going to probably be here 25 years from now. You know, the other thing that's, I think, unique about us is that we're only in this industry. We've only been in this industry. And, you know, frankly, we don't have any desire or intention of leaving the industry. And so when you talk about focus on a particular business, I don't think anybody has quite the focus that we have on laundromat success, you know, laundry vended, laundry pay. And, you know, we could talk about customer service, and we have a great team and people love it. And it's easy for me to say it, but it's better that, you know, people talk to our customers and get their own experiences versus me say, oh yeah, our customer service is great. So I can really just talk about what we've, you know, what I think sets us apart in that way. But, you know, and again, being first and bringing certain technologies to that industry that we love and are invested in is important. So, you know, again, there's many products on the market, but their focuses are not singular. You know, usually their focus is on payment, and they don't care what industry it is. You know, they just want to be involved in the payment side of things. We're very unique in that we focused on vended laundry equipment and laundromats and or vended laundry rooms. You know, certainly we do stuff in laundry rooms too, but I think that's what sets us uniquely apart.
Right. Focused on that niche.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Longevity.
Yeah. Steve, last question for you, and I really appreciate your time today because I know you're busy. Just looking ahead, what do you envision for the future of the laundromat industry? What do you see down the road?
Yeah, it depends on how far ahead you want to go. You know, I think, you know, touched on it. I think that the sky's the limit when it comes to certain AI concepts that I think will come our way. You know, I don't think we're necessarily close to seeing robotic attendance per se, but I do think that we're going to get a little smarter in how we leverage the information that we're collecting through these systems that we have today. You know, it's one of the benefits that, you know, that we provide store owners is this idea is all this information that we can gather about the patterns of you know, the spending of customers. But I think that leveraging that information is probably is underserved. And I think that with all of this more advanced computing capabilities that we're seeing, we're going to find a way to leverage that information in a way that's meaningful and a way to make adjustments to our business or to our customers' businesses that will have an impact, whether it is, you know, dynamic pricing strategies, you know, how to best leverage when customers want to be there and then really monitoring that to just looking at where the machines are being used the most at their certain periods of time. I think there's a lot of data that can be better leveraged there. And then I certainly think there's going to be just a huge continuance towards mobile. You know, I don't think that I think we're going to see more and more people really demand mobile. I mean, some of that's going to be driven by outside factors that, again, are not laundromat specific. But I tell a lot of people, I go, as soon as, you know, the various government bodies create a digital ID, which I'm sure is imminent at some point, that you can have your ID on your phone, we start to eliminate the need for a wallet altogether and not want to carry an extra wallet with us. And so if everything can be on your phone, they're not going to want to even have a credit card in their pocket. They're going to want to use their phone for everything, interacting with businesses, paying for services, all of the things that, you know, we're doing a lot of today, but we still carry a wallet and we all still have our documentation in our wallet. And so I believe that to some degree, as we get closer to that, and I do believe it's imminent, we're going to see people really wanting and requiring businesses to give them the way, give them these conveniences through their mobile.
Yeah, just a complete consolidation, I guess, of all the information we have. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that was everything I had, Steve. Is there anything I didn't ask that you'd like to get out there that you think people should know? Just anything I didn't ask.
Yeah, I think we went through a lot of, you know, what I had thought we would talk about. And so I think this was a good discussion. I think that it's important. Because, you know, if there's anything to reiterate on that I think is important for people to take away from this discussion, I think it would go back to is making a decision on the products. And regardless of whether or not an investor, you know, decides to go with CCI or go with, you know, is that you have to do your homework. And there's more than one place to get this information. And one of the things I think is great about where we are with social media and all the available information that's out there is that we have to be careful in where, what information sources we trust to be true. And that's something that I've noticed a lot in watching some of the social media channels. And when it comes to advice about anything, it doesn't even necessarily have to be about payment, is that who is answering these questions that people are asking? And so, you know, I'm kind of a bit of an old school believer, and I still am strongly believer that the distribution model that our industry uses is really an excellent one, because it's not just about where you purchase your equipment and your products, but the amount of experience that you can generally get by starting a relationship with a local distributor is really invaluable. And it's, you know, and frankly, even though it feels good to go online and research products and get a kind of a base understanding of what they're capable of, it's really important, I think, that, you know, people who are going to make these kinds of investments in laundry, that they really focus on distribution and they really leverage the distribution in their market and find a relationship with a distributor that they feel comfortable with, that really acts as a consultant. You know, so even beyond just the payment side of things, and we kind of curtail into that because it's helpful for us to have, you know, distribution that understands our products. But, you know, I would say that that would be one of my biggest advice takeaways is to work with distribution, leverage them as consultants. You'll find the most success as an operator beyond just what, you know, Facebook says.
Right. Dig a little deeper and develop those relationships.
Absolutely.
Steve, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I always learn something. I appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time.
You bet.
All right, so long.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to Planet Laundry at planetlaundry.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.